That next verse where Steve stopped says, and God is able to make some grace abound towards you. How much? How much is all grace? That you, having all sufficiency in everything, may abound into some good works. Every good work, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, and his righteousness is there for a little while. It remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower and bread for your food. Who gives you seed to sow? Where'd you get it? If you're sowing seed, where'd you get it? Multiply the seed that you sow and increase the fruits of your what? Woo! When you sow those seeds, he increases the fruit of your righteousness. What is righteousness? Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost? He's got it. See, that's what joy looks like. Like, Linda? Amen? And Jim sits back there quietly drinking. Mike's not so quiet, but Jim sits back there quietly drinking. He drinks just as much as Mike. You just don't hear it. So have a drink. Okay, Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask your blessing on it. We thank you for all you've given us freely in Christ, because in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Christ. And that's why out of your belly shall flow streams. No, rivers, oceans of living water. Deep wells. We've been talking about righteousness. I want to go on with that today. We're going to be talking about servants of righteousness, and we're going to talk about that. But I want us to go back to Romans chapter 6. Oh, thank you, Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? You know, there's a little word here in the Greek that's unique. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized in union into Jesus Christ. In what? Union is in the Greek. We're baptized in union with his death. Therefore, we were buried with him in baptism, in union into his death, that like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the union of his life, in the newness of his life. What is union? You can't separate it. You can't separate a union. You know, I was thinking a while ago, one can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 2,000 to flight. 10,000, I mean. So what can union do? All things. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing that our old man is crucified with him in union, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And that word destroyed means to set aside. It basically means sin is unemployed for you. It hadn't been totally. How many of you know sin's still alive and well today? All right. But for you, it's been set aside. It's unemployed. That henceforth we should not do what? Be a slave to sin. Be a slave to sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. And we were dead in union with Christ when he was buried. So we're free from sin. Right? All right. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live in union with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. How much dominion does death have over you? Not one thing. For in that he died, he died unto sin once, but in that he lives to God forever. That's quite an exchange there, guys. Likewise, so after all that, let's take inventory and reckon. You're also, you're dead, yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, or into sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. You do have a choice. Come on, after you was born again and made the union, you have a choice. You have a choice. That you should obey the lust thereof, neither yield, that word yield we talked about in the coffee shop, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin or into sin, but yield yourselves. And that word yield means to stand beside. You yield by going and standing beside something. You don't want to do that. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as weapons of instruments or weapons of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servant to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto or into righteousness. It's into death and into righteousness. But God be thanked that you were, say were, a slave to sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye become servants of righteousness. Say, I'm a servant of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of the flesh. As ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, you see the yielding there? To iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye in those things wherein you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit into holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of eternal life, you have the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. But you know that word slave, we talked about it one day. That word means involuntary or voluntary. Okay? Now catch this. When you were a slave to sin, you didn't have a choice. It was involuntary. There was no choice. You was a slave to sin. But after you've made the exchange, being a servant now for you is a voluntary decision you have. Or you have a decision, or you can go stand by sin again if you want to. But before you made the exchange in sin, you were a slave to sin and had no option. Okay? Being then made free from it, you now become servants of God because you what? You want to. You're a servant to God and you want to. It's voluntary. You know, Romans 6:8, this verse here. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Oh, that's good stuff. We're going to live with him. Now, there's a little word here. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That little word with is an interesting little word. It's 4862. Thayer says, and so does Strong, that little word with is in union with. It's union is that word. Now, if we be in union with Christ, we believe we'll also be in union with him in life. All right, that word with is union. And that from this word here, get this word, 4861. It's from the word 4862 and 5590, which means that we are union with him in our soul. It's the union of the soul. Your mind, your will, your emotion. It's a union of the soul. And that word is what is that word? Can't say it in the Greek. It's a sukos, something like that. It's a combination of being in union with the soul. And guess whose soul we're in union with? With his. Now, that word in Philippians 2:2, fulfill you my joy, that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. This is that same union of the soul. that you're in one accord, in union of the soul, not only with him, but what? Well, who else? With each other. Hey, I took algebra, and I know one thing. If we're in union with him, we're in union with one another. Hmm? Isn't that right? You're in one accord. You're in union with one another if you're in union with him. Because we're part of one what? One body. Members one of another. One accord. It is a community of life and love. Is that same word. 1 Corinthians 15:10, I looked this other, that same word up again. And he said, yet not I, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. But the grace of God, which was in union with me. Say grace in union with me. Because Christ is grace. He is your grace. He says, but Christ, the grace which was in union with me. 1 Corinthians 5:4, he says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are together, in my spirit with union with you and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ have judged already concerned in this matter. My spirit in union with you in the power of Christ. I'm telling you, this word union's a big word. Yes. You can't separate it. You know, we was talking about coffee shop. When we were born of Adam, Steve said, this thing, I don't understand all this. When we were born of Adam, we were in union with Adam whether we understood it or not. Yes. We were all in union with Adam just by birth. These little babies are precious back there, but when they're born of Adam, they're still got an Adamic nature, and they still like to throw a fit. Give me an amen. We're in union with Adam when we're born. But when we're exchanged and born again, we're in union with God, and it doesn't matter whether we ever figure it out or not. You see where I'm going? It's a DNA thing that we have. We're in union with him and with one another because we're part of a whole new creation. Because both he that sanctifies and they that are sanctified, the sanctifier and the sanctified, are in union with one. Isn't that what it says in Hebrews? Yes. We're all one. We're in union with him. Romans 6:16, know ye not to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience into righteousness. Servant is not what you do, but who you are by virtue of your union with Christ, who is a servant. Now, I want you to see something. Now, I know the scriptures in John 15 and Galatians says you're no more a servant, but a son. Now, get this. We're not just a bond servant anymore. We're sons. Amen. But we're sons that serve. Do you see the difference? We're no longer servants to sin, but we're servants of righteousness because we are God's sons. We choose to serve. Because what did Jesus say to the disciples? He said, I did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. You with me? So why is Jesus here? To serve. Why are we here? To serve. Did he do it because he had to, or that was just his nature? Do we serve because that's our nature, or are we a slave to serve? We just serve because we're of a servant nature. That's who we are. We're no longer ourselves. We've been bought with a price, right? So he owns us. So because of our union with him, and think of all the time... A servant is one, is a slave, really, that word. They was gracious in using the word servant, but it's really slave. He says, is one whose will is being altogether consumed by the will of another. A servant whose will is completely consumed by the will of another. That's what a servant is. That's why Jesus said, not my will, but what? Thy will be done. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 19, he says, though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant slave to all, to the Jew, to whoever, that I might win them. But what did he say? I have a choice in this thing. I have purposely made myself a servant to these people, but the goal is to win them to Christ. That's a good motivation for an evangelist. That's what Paul was saying, to win them to Christ. I've made myself a servant to those. In Matthew 8, 9, he says, when the centurion came to him and said, my servant is homesick, and he said, could you heal him? And he said, well, I'll go with you. He said, you don't need to. He said, all you have to do is just speak the word, because I'm a man under authority. And I say to one, go, and he goes, one, come. And he says, all you have to do is just speak the word, and my servant will be made whole. And it says Jesus marveled. I got goosebumps when I said marveled. This was not a Jew. This was a Gentile. And it says Jesus marveled. Said, I hadn't seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. Because this man knew under authority. He said, I'm a man under authority, so I have authority. Just speak the word and he'll be made whole. Marvel, that word means in admiration. He was in admiration of this guy's faith. You remember in Matthew 20:27, when the disciples were arguing over who's going to be the greatest when Jesus left. And he washed all their feet, some of them was a little thick, trying to let them see. He said, I'm among you as one that serves. And if I've washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. And he says, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. You want to be the chief? Be the servant to the rest. We're servants of servants. Is what he's saying. You be the chief servant if you want to be great. And you know, in the book of Acts, he said he's going to pour out his spirit on his servants, on his what? Servants, and on his handmaidens. I will pour out my spirit. See, why does he want to pour out his spirit? It's just so we can enjoy it, have a good time, or is it for a purpose? Why is the gifts of the spirit, are they for us or for others? The fruit we bear, is it for us or others? You getting the picture? Ephesians 6, verse 5, he says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. Not with eye servant as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. What is he saying here? He's saying to them that actually own somebody, you do what they say as unto the Lord. They own you, and you live your life as you would unto the Lord. They're your masters. You serve them as you would me. Not with this eye service, but doing it from your heart as to me. That's a pretty heavy message, isn't it? It's hard for us to imagine that, but a lot of that was going on. Philippians 2:7, talking about Jesus, though he was in the form of God, he said he didn't see that being equal with God something to be grasped at, and he made of himself no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And having become a man, he stayed a man. You know, that's pretty incredible, isn't it? Having become a man, he stayed a man forever and ever. But he said what? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is he talking about? This servant nature. It needs to be part of who we really are now that we've become free from sin and we become servants of righteousness. But we're sons who serve. You see the difference? I want you to catch that. It's a voluntary thing you have. Slavery is, as a sinner, is involuntary, but as a son, it's voluntary. You're free to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And righteousness is a state of approval before God. It's justification, standing in the very presence of God without a sense of guilt, of no guilt and no condemnation. Romans 6:22 says you have your fruit into holiness and the end everlasting life. That's pretty good. So how does this work? Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Abiding in him is our union with him. And we're going to produce fruit just in the union of abiding in him. I don't particularly like, we're talking about we've been grafted in. I know he was trying to make a picture, but I understand the picture. But we're more than just grafted in. We've been born of a birth. We are sons. And we're part of that tree by birth, not just being grafted in and stuck there. You see the picture I'm trying to make? Yes, we are. We're more than just grafted in. We're sons of God. Oh, thank you, Lord. It says all creation is waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God. Romans 8, for the earnest expectation of all creation waits for a manifestation of the sons of God. You know, all that's saying is, and I really believe this is so clear, when he sat down, he said, it's finished. Everything he was going to do to make us who we are has been done. But the problem is a taking off of the cover to see who we are. All creation is waiting for us to allow the cover to be lifted so we can see who we are as sons and daughters. So why? So all creation can be delivered from the bondage of corruption. See, corruption is what we were born with. Incorruption is what we were reborn with. See, and all creation wants to be delivered from the corruption that man brought about. And it's waiting, it's groaning and travailing, waiting for a manifestation for the sons of God. The Greek said the eager expectation of the creation is waiting for the revelations of the revelation of the Son of God. It's waiting for a revelation for the sons to see who they are as sons and daughters of God. You know, one day I was sitting in I don't know, a coffee shop back here meditating on this, thinking about some things that needed to be done and asking God to do certain things. And I just got the overwhelming thing that I sit down. I've given you authority to do everything that needs to be done. Why are you asking me to do it? He said, I said it's finished, and I sat down, and I'm waiting for all your enemies to be made your footstool. Why are you asking me to do that? Don't you think he gets tired of us always asking him to do something he's already done and given us authority? All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. So you go therefore and do what? Act like sons and daughters. Do you know what? The God of this world blinds the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine. Why does he want to keep us blinded to who we are? Because we can make his life miserable. Let me say it again. You can make his life miserable instead of him always making your life miserable. And he don't want you to see who you are. And your scripture says, and because you are sons, he sent the Spirit into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You are sons already. There's no waiting for a future thing. We already have everything we're going to have in Christ Jesus. So if you've been sitting around waiting for something else, you're going to be waiting a long time. Because when he sat down, it's finished from the creation of the world. From the foundation of the world. Isn't that what it says? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We need a revelation. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 18, when I heard you got saved, I ceased not to pray for you day and night. Why? Because the God of this world don't want you to know who you are, is what he was saying. Night and day, that the revelation, that your eyes being a revelation of God, may be made known to you. You might see what is his riches and what is the glory and everything he's given to us in Christ Jesus. See, that's really what we need to be praying all the time. God, open our eyes so we can see what we are, who we already are and what we already have. See? And we have it in union with each other. It was never designed to work apart from the body. There's no spiritual rangers in the body of Christ. Oh, thank you, Lord. Abiding is union with God. Jesus is the vine and a very fruitful hill. Isaiah 5. I don't have time to read it sometimes. He did everything he could do, and he looked at it bring forth fruit, and it brought forth wild grapes. He said, what more can I do? And you know what he's saying today? What more can I do? What more can I do than's already been done? It's all freely given to us in Christ. There's nothing left for him to freely give us that he hadn't already given us. The problem is not giving it to us. It's the problem of a revelation of what we already have. Of the fullness of God. I cannot even imagine when it says you are complete. All the fullness of God that created this mass universe that's still being created dwells in Christ. And you are complete in your union with Christ. How does that look, Steve? How does that look? Can you get your mind around that? No way. That's incredible. That's who we are. That's who we are. Abiding in union with God. We have entered into a union with Christ, a union of vine and branches to produce fruit. And all you have to do to produce fruit is just to abide. That sounds awful hard, doesn't it? It is awful hard when you got to what? The old mind, will, and emotion, your old man pulling at you every time, the devil trying to pull you loose from the vine, doing everything he can to keep you from knowing who you are. Blessed, it says, we are in Christ. Ephesians 1, 3, and 4, blessed, all blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We are in him. Colossians 3:3, we are hidden with Christ in God. We are hidden what? In Christ, in God. In Christ, in God. How does that work? You are hidden in Christ, in God. That's pretty powerful. Problem is, we've got to believe all that. We didn't choose him. He chose us and ordained us that we go and bring forth fruit, and that fruit should remain. If we're in union with him, the fruit of righteousness, when we understand that we've been made the very righteousness of God, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of those that make peace. When we start believing what the Word says and his Word abide, we are automatically going to be producing the fruit of righteousness and the fruits of the Spirit. Because basically, wouldn't it be awesome to just see all the fruits and all the gifts working? Because why are they given to us? So we can nourish each other. Minister one to another. You give to me, and I take your fruits, and you take my fruits, and we're all just a big having a fruit party that's been freely given to us in Christ. We've been so ingrained by that Adamic nature that if you don't work, you don't get, that it's so hard for us to really freely receive. But he told the disciples, even before he went to the cross, told them what to do. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the devil. Well, I guess that's right. Raise the dead. Raise them up. Get them all that. But he didn't stop there. He said something first. He said, freely you have received, so freely give. What does that tell me? That everything he's telling them to go give, he had already given them. If they needed healing, they needed deliverance, they needed whatever they needed, he had already given them everything they needed. And he says, as you've received, go give what I've given you. They had it on credit. And they did. Freely receive, freely give. We to abide, to dwell. I like the word marinate. See, that's what these guys do every once in a while, and I do it too occasionally. You just soak. It's called marinating. And you know what? Let the word of Christ marinate in you richly. Let me say that again. Let the word of Christ marinate in you richly. Just let it. You have a choice. Just let it dwell in you. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. You feel that? Oh. Woo! You know, apart from him, we can do what? Nothing. There is no fruit apart from Christ. All of our striving and all of our works will not get us anything. Abiding in Christ is the life of fruitfulness, joy in the Holy Ghost, because in His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Can you get around that? In His presence is what? Fullness of joy. How much is fullness? It's running over. In His presence. You think people in His presence right now are depressed or upset or nervous or anxious? Huh? In His presence, what are they doing? There's fullness of joy. And then at His right hand, who's seated at His right hand? His Son? Who's seated with His Son? We are. There's pleasures forevermore as we're seated in Him in heavenly places. Oh. I don't get it. Does yours get it? My brain doesn't get all this. But it doesn't have to. We can enjoy its benefits without understanding all it. You know, Paul said it, 2 Corinthians 5:14, he says, the love of God keeps me from flying apart. It's the love of God that constraineth me. What is he saying? It's the love of God that actually keeps me from flying apart. And why was the Holy Ghost given? So the love of God could be shed abroad in our hearts. That's why the Holy Ghost was given to us. So the Holy Ghost is the one that brings the love of God to reality to all of us. It keeps us from flying apart. Oh, thank you, Lord. You ever feel like you're flying apart sometimes? Well, just allow the Holy Ghost and a little new wine to flow through, and you get beside yourself. Abiding in the love of God. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same. What's he saying? Whatever gifting God has given you is what you give to others. And everybody has not the same giftings. Every man as you received, even give the same one to another as good stewards of the many-sided grace of God. It has so many sides. Oh, grace comes to us so it can flow through us to others. Why does the gospel of grace bring so much opposition from a religious world? Because grace is disruptive before it's redemptive. It sabotages all forms of self-salvation. Why is there so much chaos going on right now in the body of Christ against the grace message? Because it sabotages 30 or 40 years of striving and struggling. And so many people have so much invested in it, they say it can't be that easy. Look what we've done all these years, and we'll lose everything we've done all these years to build if we say this message is true. It sabotages you. But afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those that are exercised thereby. So just go ahead and let it die. It ain't worth it. 1 John 2:24 says, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning remains in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. Where are you going to continue? In the Son and in the Father. But the anointing which you have received abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but that same anointing teaches you all things, and it is truth, and is no lie. Even as you've been taught, you shall abide in Him. So let the peace of God abide in your heart. Let it reign in your heart. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before His coming. 1 John 2:6 says, he that saith he abides in union with Him ought himself to walk even as He walked. Why? Because you're walking by the walk of another. Let me say it again. Because we're walking by the walk of another. Oh, thank you, Lord. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, thank you, Lord. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is now, so are we in this present world. Not someday, not a few more weary days, but as he is now, so are we in this present world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect or mature in love. We love him because he what? First loved us. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestined. That just means, that's a big word that means he foreordained, predetermined. He predetermined. Who did he foreknow? And he knows everything. He did predetermine to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many more sons and daughters. He predetermined every one of us from the foundation of the world that we should be conformed to the image of his very son. And the Holy Spirit, 3:18, 2 Corinthians, and he, we beholding as in a mirror the word of God, are being exchanged into the same image of the Son of God by the Spirit of God. That's a good deal. But where's the striving and all that? It's not. It's not. Oh. That he might be the firstborn among many more. Hebrews 2:11, for both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all one, which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 15:49, Paul says, if we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Come on now. Colossians 3:9-10, lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, because you've been buried with Christ in union, and you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of God that created him. That's what God's done. That's good. And the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is finished from the foundation of the world. 2 Corinthians 3:18, in another version, says, but we all with unveiled faces, reflecting as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord, the Spirit. Second Corinthians 1:1-4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises we are made partakers of his divine nature. What do you do with a promise? You just believe it. There's no striving or working. You just believe it, because it's a promise. When God couldn't do anything else, he swore by himself. He made a covenant with himself so it couldn't be broken in his son. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now. Say now. Are we sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Because as he is, what? So are we now in this present world. For in Christ, there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. In Christ, there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. You are a new creation in Christ. Ephesians 2:15 said he's abolished in his flesh the enmity. Aren't you glad that enmity is taken away? Do you know there's still enmity between the old and the new? The natural mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to God and never will be. But aren't you glad he's made an exchange so you can have the mind of Christ and you don't have to live there anymore in your old reasoning? That's why we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law and the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of the two one new man, so making peace. Hallelujah. that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. So let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you are called into one body, and be ye thankful. Lord, we're thankful for all the rain and for all you've done for us. Just help us to see what you've given us, Lord. Father, I just pray that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may know what we have in you, and that we may grow up in the knowledge of understanding of God and Jesus, and that we can fully begin to see what's been freely given to us in Christ. And we bind the adversary, and we, Lord, ask you to take the veil away. We ask you to take even all the veil of the old law that still remains in some of our members, trying to pull us back into old thinking. Lord, we thank you for a brand new start, and Lord, help us to stay focused on what's new and remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old, because you've done a new thing, and that's what we want in Christ Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.